Okay, the reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 10. So that's 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to pray now before David comes up. Loving Father, thank you, Lord, that we can come and hear your word now. And pray for David as he speaks, that he would do so as one speaking the very words of God. And we pray, Lord, that he would serve with the strength that you provide, that in this you would be praised, Lord, and to you would be the glory and the power forever. Amen.
Microphone working? Yes, good. I can hear myself. Let me add my welcome to David. I'm also David, just to help or confuse. So we're going to look at serving, and this is part of our series that we've been doing since the beginning of the year, which I think Josh has described as a spiritual MOT. It's, as Christians, are we running well? Not, let's be very, very clear again, not, what do I need to do to become a Christian? What do I need to do to be right with God? So if you've been here in recent weeks, perhaps relatively new to Emmanuel, please don't hear this as a series of here's what you need to do to be accepted by God. We can only be accepted by God in Jesus, at the forgiveness of sins in him dying on the cross. This is... As Christians, as those who have been forgiven and brought into new life in Christ, are we running well? Something of a health check as we start this year. So serving, very helpfully, we've already been thinking about this in the service. I wonder how you kind of respond when you hear the word serving, how you feel about that. It's one of those words that can become Christian jargon. So in church circles, we sort of know what we mean if we've been around for a while. It is quite a broad term. Maybe if we just tried to reach for a definition quickly, we'd just think, well, it's kind of doing things to help in church, isn't it? That's basically serving. What about our wider society? Well, serving can mean all sorts of things. You think about public service, military service, that kind of idea. I think the feeling of serving is often almost stoic. It's admirable, but probably not joyful. And that's the sort of mood around serving. And maybe, because that's the air we breathe, that's our wider society, that affects how we sort of think and feel about serving too when we come to church. And in our passage, we see that serving is all to do with gifts, and we've been thinking about that already. Now, that language of gifts is also used by our wider society, and it's almost always about exceptional people, isn't it? A gifted musician, a gifted sports person. In other words, someone whose abilities are better than everybody else's. They're exceptional. And so maybe that's also how we think about gifts in church life. Let's take a closer look at our passage and see what God tells us about serving, what Peter tells us about serving. So we're in, just to remind you, 1 Peter 4, just two verses. So verse 10 and verse 11. And the first thing to notice is how this begins. Each of you. So everyone has gifts from God. So it's not like our wider society that talks about gifted people as a kind of set apart group. Now everyone has gifts from God. Peter doesn't say those of you who have gifts, you should be using them, and everyone else just sit back and enjoy it. No, he says each of you. So everyone has a gift, or more likely, gifts. The gifts look different, so you notice that Peter talks about God's grace in its various forms. Lego building and all that kind of stuff. We'll come back to that. But no one lacks a gift. No one. And then the really key thing is that these are gifts. They come from God. Our abilities and our resources, they don't come from us. They come from God. They can feel like they come from us, right? Because we've usually worked at our abilities or we've worked for our resources in some way. And so they kind of feel like they're ours, but ultimately everything is from God. And it's not just that God provides everything, so that includes this. God has deliberately given you the specific gifts that you have. And because God is the one who gives these gifts, our abilities are actually not ours to use as we please. We are stewards. You see that word? We are stewards responsible to God for how we use these gifts. He has entrusted them to us. We're now stewards of them. So look at verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So as stewards, what does God want from us? Well, he wants us to serve each other, not just to use our own gifts for our own benefit. So there'll be things we're good at, there are resources we have, and our natural inclination is, well, I enjoy this, I'm going to go and do this for my own enjoyment and my own benefit. But the call here is to put the interests of others above our own, to serve with the gifts that God has given us. So the question isn't whether you have gifts. The question isn't whether you should serve. The question is what gifts you have and how you can use them to serve others. So how do we know what gifts we should be using to serve? David picked up on this helpfully earlier for us. What are these various forms of God's grace that Peter talks about? Well, in verse 11, he goes on to talk about speaking and serving, and we'll come to that. In just a moment. But there are lots of gifts. There are lots of ways of serving. Now, I'd like to suggest a couple of ways of thinking about gifts that you might use to serve others. So essentially what you want to do here is think, here am I, and here's the church, primarily, the ones we want to serve. So I'm trying to connect up my gifts with the needs over here that I can serve. And so we could think about this and start in either place. There are kind of two angles on this. So we could start by looking at the local church. Find out where the needs are and then try to serve there to meet those needs. Or we could start with ourselves and think, well, what do my skills seem to be? What are my gifts? And then how could I use those to serve the local church? Let me develop that slightly. So, first of all, what's needed in the local church? This way around of looking at it, where we say, what are the needs? Could I fit in? I've got in my notes here, Milton Jones joke, question mark. The Christian comedian, Milton Jones, describes the church as a giant helicopter. People are afraid to get too close in case they get sucked into the rotors. Well, we do have rotors, and so here's my rotor pitch. Rotors are actually incredibly useful. They organize lots of ways of serving in church life, and we're incredibly grateful to those who put those rotors together, to Jenny and Ingrid. And so it's good to look at the things going on in the life of the church and see where are there gaps, and could I serve in one of those ways? Sometimes gifts are a surprise to ourselves. We don't actually know we have them until we start sort of trying and we develop into those gifts. So when we talk about God-given gifts here, we're not saying everyone is born with all of these gifts from day one. No, God gives these gifts at the right time. Gifts develop over a lifetime. So it can be a good thing to just see, well, what are the needs? And could I maybe could I maybe do that? And, you know, there may be things that just aren't a good fit, and that's okay. We don't all have every gift. But it's good to think about it from that perspective. So if you are a member of the church and you'd like to find out more about the ministries of Emmanuel and where you could maybe get involved, do come and talk to me or one of the other elders. But serving is bigger than rotas. So this is the other angle now. That if there are needs in the local church where you can say, yep, that, there's a gap there, you could go and try to serve in that way. But the other way of thinking about this is, what abilities do I have and how could I use those to serve others? I won't embarrass anyone by naming names, but I was actually really encouraged as I prepared for this to think of examples of people in our church family who have gifts that they use to bless others in the church. You might be able to think of similar examples. That's a great thing. If you're still not sure what gifts you have when you kind of start from this side, it doesn't have to be a lonely exercise of introspection, like, what am I good at? Just talk to people around you and ask them, what do you think I'm good at, and how could I use that gift to serve others in the church? I hope it's useful to think about both angles on this. I think it's important because we do need people to serve in those more formal ministries, the things where it's really useful to have rotas. But then we also want serving to go far beyond that into all of life as church family. Let me read from Romans 12, this is verses 6 to 8. I think Ruth sort of drawing on this in her prayer very helpfully. This is Romans 12, 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And what you'll notice is we don't have rotas for most of those things. So those rotas are important, but we're not going to have rotas for every area of serving. Think about what gifts God has given you and how you might use them to serve others. So that's point one. Let's steward our gifts. Well, we've been given these gifts. Let's steward them well by serving others. Secondly, we should serve each other using the gifts has given us, but in dependence on him. So God doesn't just give us the gifts, the abilities, he then also gives us the wisdom and the strength we need to use those gifts. This is the generosity of God. And I think we just notice in all of this that serving, we'll see more and more, is so much more about what God gives to us than what we are sort of giving to the church. So we serve each other in dependence on God. Let's look at the first bit of verse 11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Now you notice the pattern. As we use our God-given gifts, we should lean completely on God. So if our gift is speaking, we should speak as one who speaks the very words of God. That's extraordinary. A slightly nerve-wracking thing for someone preaching today. It's a weighty responsibility to do this. But it is also a relief because we don't have to invent wisdom to use a speaking gift. God gives the gift of speaking and gives the words to say as we depend on him. So if your gift is a speaking gift, then read God's word and speak God's word. Depend on him as you exercise that gift. If our gift is serving, we should serve with the strength that God provides. All kinds of serving can be tiring. It takes strength and perseverance. And God provides the strength we need. To be honest, I don't know how this works. We can experience this as we serve in dependence on God. But perhaps it's just me, but I think there's a mystery to this. We are finite creatures, but we are upheld by an infinite God. That's at the heart of this. And the passage that came to mind is Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, the verses 28 to 31, I'll just read those. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So whether you're feeling full of energy and are looking for new ways to serve, or you're actually feeling quite worn out and even wondering, do I need to step back in certain places? And that's okay. In either case, we need God's strength to serve. We need God's strength. So seek God and the strength he gives. As Isaiah says, hope in the Lord and lean on him for this strength. I do just want to add quickly, just in case, please don't hear this as a call to go and work 24/7. We need rest. God knows that. God has set up a pattern of rest for us. So please don't hear it that way. But this is a call to use whatever gifts we have in dependence on God. We need his wisdom and his strength to use the gifts he's given, and he will provide those. Finally, we serve each other for God's glory. Brackets, not ours. Let's read the rest of verse 11. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So it's actually tempting to look for glory when we serve, glory for ourselves. We want that glory when we do something and then think, I hope everyone noticed that. I hope everyone thought I did okay at that thing. And it's almost ironic that serving, sort of being in a sense humble, sort of placing ourselves beneath others to serve, can actually make us proud. It can be a real point where we wrestle with pride. We need to be humbled by remembering that all gifts come from God. That runs through all of this. The gifts come from God, so he alone deserves the glory. Being prayerful about our own serving, I think, can be helpful here. It reminds us that we are using a gift from God in his strength and for his glory. And then I wonder how we can help each other with this as well. As we serve each other, how do we do that in a way that's glorifying to God and kind of helping each other remember that it's all to God's glory? I remember the first time that I led a service, not particularly well. It was my first time. But an older Christian who'd known me all my life came up to me afterwards and said something like, thank you, it's wonderful to see God raising up another generation. And I just found that really helpful, because she didn't come and say, well done. She came and essentially said, praise God. And it wasn't patronizing. It just turned my heart Godward rather than it sort of being about me and did I do okay. So maybe that's one example. I'm sure you'll think of others. How do we help each other as we're serving and seeing that service? How do we help each other glorify God with all of this? And I do want to say this about the way our serving glorifies God. Back to the point at the start about how our society maybe thinks about serving and how we feel about it. Maybe when we think about being stewards and serving, it feels and sounds a bit like cold duty. That's what we're really talking about. But the point here, as we see from the passage, is this glorifies God. So when we see these acts of service, our hearts should sing glory to God. And if you think about Emmanuel, God has brought this church family together. God has given everyone the gifts that they have. God gives them the wisdom and the strength to use those gifts to serve each other. If God didn't do any of these things, we wouldn't have a church. We wouldn't be a church. It wouldn't work. Glory to God for all of this serving. None of us has all the gifts. We need each other. God gives us each other so that we can serve and be served. God knows exactly the gifts we need and has brought together this group of people so that we complement each other and are able to run as a local church. Glory to God for all of this, not glory to ourselves. We can be thankful for God's generosity and give him all the glory. In closing, the beauty of serving is also that it's Christ-like. It's like Jesus. Jesus said of himself, this is Mark 10:45, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That reminds us, as we said at the beginning, that our serving is not how we are made right with God. Jesus gave himself as a ransom, paying the price for our sin. If you're not yet trusting in Jesus to be right with God and you're here this morning, it's wonderful to have you. This is so important. Please hear this. All of our serving comes from being bought back by God. It is not how we buy our way into heaven. That would be impossible. As we serve each other, it's really just a pale reflection of Jesus' ultimate service, giving his life for ours. So let's pray to our servant King. Lord Jesus, you are a generous God. You give the gifts that we have. You give us your wisdom and strength to use those gifts. You give us each other to serve and to be served by. And so we give you all the glory. We thank you and we pray for your strength as we go and continue serving or consider new ways that we might serve. Please help us in this, Lord, and all for your glory. We pray in the name of our servant King, Lord Jesus. Amen.